West Virginia is a special place. People in the state that have great pride in this WV logo.
And you'll stop at the Golden Blue.
It is a great night to be a Mountaineer wherever you may be.
And now it's the show brought to you by Mountaineer fans for Mountaineer fans, the Country Roads Webcast.
What's going on, Mountaineer Nation? Welcome into episode 185 of the CRW podcast here for our Duke's Mayo preview and predictions, and we're going to get into our preview of that game against North Carolina Tar Heels here in the Duke's Mayo Bowl as I'm joined by my co-host Steven. In the latter portion of this episode, we'll break down the matchups in that game, provide our key to victory, and our score predictions, and we're really excited to dive into that. But before we get there, we got to lead this episode off with a little bit of Mountaineer news. All right, leading off Mountaineer news here, and something you've probably already heard before, reported over on the Country Roads Webcast YouTube channel, among other places, but this article here comes from WVSportsNow.com, our friend Mike Ostie over there, and we're appreciative in being a part of the SportsNow family of networks. Be sure to head over to WVSportsNow.com, where you can find not only great Mountaineer sports content all the time, but you can also find video versions of episodes of the Country Roads Webcast there on their site as well, so all the more reason to head over there if you don't already and check out their content. But Beanie Bishop was named a consensus All-American just a week ago, announced by the university, becoming only the 13th consensus All-American in the history of the WVU football program. So very high honors, and certainly wanted to take a second out here on Mountaineer News to recognize this great achievement for Beanie Bishop. But unfortunately, we follow that positive news with a couple pieces of more news from the negative side here in our Mountaineer News segment, and that is, for one, C.J. Donaldson will not be participating in the West Virginia Bowl game here in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. We won't get to see C.J. play to join Zach Frazier on the out list for West Virginia, and wide receiver Preston Fox is indeed questionable to play in this game as well. At this time, that's the injury update for West Virginia as we move through Mountaineer News here. One more negative thing here to talk about, negative in how it affects West Virginia, but positive and how it affects the individual. And that individual is, of course, West Virginia safeties coach Dante Wright. Positive news for Coach Wright, who is one of the more highly regarded assistants on this coaching staff, as he is reportedly set to become the defensive coordinator at Troy following West Virginia's bowl game. Troy recently hired former West Virginia staffer Jared Parker as the new head coach there of the Troy football program, and him and Dante Wright have a long-standing relationship, and it appears that Dante Wright will leave his position as West Virginia safeties coach to take on a more lucrative position as a defensive coordinator as he continues to advance in the coaching ranks now. Of course, shout out to Dante Wright. Thought he did a great job in his position leading the West Virginia safeties during his time here, and I think it's only right that he eventually moves into a coordinator role now, and hopefully maybe we'll see him back at West Virginia one day in the future. But if not, wish him all the success in the world. And we now know that following this bowl game, West Virginia will be looking to fill at least one staff position here as we report on this moving throughout Mountaineer News. And lastly, here in Mountaineer News, just wanted to finish up with a bit of housekeeping in terms of roster management. West Virginia has these 16 players currently confirmed to return in 2024, all thanks to the Country Roads Trust, of course, signing them to deals for next season. On defense, we have Ben Cutter, Trey Lathan, and Josiah Trotter, all confirmed to return for next year. That's very important. All those are very talented freshman linebackers. We also have essentially the entire offensive line confirmed to return for next season that can do so is Wyatt Milam, Thomas Remick, Johnny Williams, Nick Malone, Brandon Yates, Nick Cray, and Jaquay Hubbard have all committed to West Virginia for 2024, as have a lot of West Virginia skill position players, Garrett Green, Jaheim White, Traylon Ray, Preston Fox, and Rodney Gallagher to go with tight end Cole Taylor as well. Those are the players at this time currently confirmed to return to West Virginia in 2024, where they will be joined by some incoming freshmen that have now been solidified as early signing day has happened since our last episode here. So let's wrap up Mountaineer news now with the list of 22 signees that West Virginia was able to pick up on signing day. And just a quick rundown of those signees: Makai Byerson on the defensive line, Akiah Altooner on the offensive line, Curtis Jones Jr. at the linebacker position, Keyshawn Robinson at the wide receiver position, defensive lineman Nate Gabriel, defensive back Jason Cross, defensive back Keon Washington, Justin Terry, an offensive lineman, tight end Jack Samarco, defensive back Chris Henry, defensive back Zay Jennings, wide receiver Brandon Raymond, defensive lineman Elijah Kinsler, running back Dior Hubbard, offensive lineman Luke Austin, quarterback Khalil Wilkins, wide receiver Dom Collins, wide receiver Day-Day Farmer, running back Travon Dunbar, defensive back Jacob Boyce, linebacker Ricky Williams, and defensive lineman Obina Onwuka, who is likely to play the bandit position at West Virginia. Those are the names that West Virginia inked on early signing day, the 22 players that will join the West Virginia football team in 2024 and hope to make a difference as we get set to wrap up Mountaineer news here with those potential difference makers. And speaking of difference makers, there's been no bigger difference maker for me here recently than Magic Mind. You guys know about it, the little 2.5 productivity shot. I've been raving about it here on the podcast, and I've been raving about it for a reason. It's really been very beneficial to me in my daily life, not only here on the podcast, recording episodes, editing episodes, but also at my 9-to-5 job as well. Feel like I've been more productive in both places, and I've also been intaking less caffeine. I've only been drinking half a cup a day, a cup a day at most, and not feeling any loss of energy there. I actually feel more energy thanks to Magic Mind. It can really stretch out that caffeine, and it can do it in a healthy way with its all natural ingredients that are really more beneficial for you. Can't ever state that enough. Obviously, keto friendly, paleo friendly, vegan, all of those good things, and just such great ingredients such as lion's mane mushroom, matcha. You can go on down the list. All of them really beneficial for you and your body. Not only talking about energy levels, but we're talking about less anxiety, less stress. Can't recommend it enough here, guys. Got a new link for you guys actually this month, as Magic Mind actually has an even better deal now in place, where if you subscribe for just 3 months, you will get 1 month for free. And that's if you use our exclusive link here. That's magicmind.com/JAN. Country Roads, and then with our code CONFIDENTIAL20, you'll also get an extra 20% off, which gets you up to 75% off. So guys, can't recommend this enough. Get out, try this Magic Mind. You're going to love the way it's beneficial for your daily life. No matter what you do, it can really increase your productivity. And so just like those West Virginia recruits we just named, you can be set to make a difference of your own as well. So starting in January, you need help to crush your 2024 New Year's resolutions. Here's the way, and you can do it in a fully focused manner with Magic Mind. Use this link, magicmind.com/JanCountryRoads, where you can subscribe for 3 months and get 1 month free. But for a bonus, use our code CONFIDENTIAL20. Get that extra 20% off, which gets you up to 75% off, guys. This is an excellent deal here. Magic Mind's running in January. Can't recommend it enough. Only lasts till the end of January, so hurry up. Get it before it goes away, as West Virginia is trying to get this ninth win before the opportunity slips out of their hands here in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And we're excited to now bring you our preview of that matchup here as Steven joins me, and we'll dive in on the matchups here against the Tar Heels as West Virginia seeks that ninth win in this Duke's Mayo Bowl matchup against the North Carolina Tar Heels coming up here on December 27th. All right, Mountaineer Nation, here we are with our main segment on episode 185, the stuff you've all been waiting for. We're going to dive in on our prediction for the Duke's Mayo Bowl as 8-4 West Virginia gets set to take on 8-4 North Carolina. They're in Charlotte, and joining me to help me break this one down, my co-host, Steven. How's it going, Steven?
Pretty good, man. How you been?
I can't complain, man. Excited to get to see the Mountaineers bowling this year. It feels like it's been a while, and we're in a good place, you know, positive place right now for the fan base. And I think a lot of good things heading into this one. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. This is got a lot of good energy going into this bowl game. I remember the last time, I think the last bowl game we won was, I think, the Cactus Bowl. Am I mistaken about that?
Sounds right. Or Liberty Bowl, Army.
Liberty Bowl.
Yeah. That one slips the mind.
Well, both of those games, I guess you could make the argument is not to say that I wasn't excited per se, but I wasn't really like amped up about that bowl game. But you know, I think West Virginia truly lucked out getting the bowl game that they did. You know, getting the trade places with a potential SEC team. So yeah, I'm a little bit more amped up about this one than normal. It feels not like a New Year's six day game would, or you know, one of the what is equal to what the BCS bowl games were, but you know, yeah, still one of those upper tier ones.
Yeah, I think you know, no slight to the Big 12's bowl tie-ins necessarily, but I think a lot of the time it sees us going to Texas or Arizona or somewhere like that. So I think, you know, for the fans' perspective, for West Virginia side, this one certainly works out a lot better being there in Charlotte and kind of more of one of the traditional bowls that West Virginia used to go to. You know, back in the day, it was the Continental Tire Bowl. And then, of course, last time, the Meineke Car Care Bowl, which I think the coolest tidbit is that game took place on December 27th, just like this one is about to. So it's going to be exactly 15 years to the day the last time they played, and the last time they played being at Bank of America Stadium there in Charlotte as well. So a pretty cool fun fact. I know you're going to get to be in attendance for the game, Steve, and I'm unfortunately got to work that morning. I'll be catching it on TV there on ESPN or ESPN Plus. But, you know, opening thoughts. I know, like I said, you're going to get to travel there. So how are you feeling about the matchup with North Carolina? Just going down there kind of before we break it down, you know, on both sides of the ball, I guess, just kind of from a wider perspective, how are you feeling about this matchup with the Tar Heels?
I'm feeling pretty good about it overall. I think that especially with the guys that, you know, they've announced that UNC has opting out of the bowl game and or entering the transfer portal. I think that increases our chances of winning. I think that we've really, especially towards the latter part of the season with GG, I think we really caught fire there for a little bit. So I expect that to continue. I kind of felt confident even if they would have had some of these guys playing. And that's not to say that I don't think it would have been a good, like a really close game. I think it had potential to be an even better game than what we seen the last time that we was down there. And that's saying something. That's a mouthful. Yeah, if you remember watching that game. But I really do. I think West Virginia, especially if they can hold steady on defense up on the front line, because they got a really talented running back. I mean, you talked about that a little bit earlier. I like our chances. I think the offense, it's kind of ironic because at times this season the defense kind of held the weight of the team, and then it's kind of flopped in the latter part of the season to the offense in a way.
Yeah, I think it has. But I think that bodes well, like you said, for West Virginia's chances in this game just because of the fact that, you know, UNC – for all their struggles, I think, in the latter portion of the season, you know, both these teams are coming in at 8-4, but they kind of got there in different ways. UNC starting off hot, you know, 6-0, reaching as high as, you know, top 10 in the country before kind of stumbling to this 8-4 finish for them, whereas West Virginia kind of was pretty consistent throughout the season to earn their 8-4 mark that they have coming into this game. But the thing that I think both teams have in common is explosive offense. You know, UNC was very good there in the ACC offensively, so it's good for West Virginia that they found their offense there in the latter portion of the season, because they'll probably need it in this game against UNC, despite the fact that you're not going to have Drake May, you're not going to have Tez Walker, you know, a few of their tight ends. They're still going to have, you know, the explosive running back you mentioned there, Amari Hampton, some other good players there. So I think we could still be in for a shootout in this one. We'll see how it shakes out. But, you know, you mentioned some of the opt-outs, transfer portal, things like that. So let's talk a little bit about that before we get into the individual matchups in this one, Stevens. For West Virginia side, for sure here, There's been some transfers out. You know, I've been covering this on the Country Roads webcast YouTube channel, but I just want to share the transfer out list of the players that have left West Virginia because, of course, none of these players will be playing for West Virginia in the bowl game. The most impactful being the most recent ones here at the bottom of the list, probably no Hershey McLaurin at spear for West Virginia, no Andrew Wilson Lamp on special teams or providing depth there at the cornerback position. And then, of course, you lose a starter in Mike Lockhart. You won't have Justin Johnson to provide depth there at the running back position. And then, of course, Lance Dixon, we knew was no longer with the team for quite a while now. But looking at some of these players that have left, I tried to throw together a potential depth chart for West Virginia in this contest, Stephen, just with some of the injuries that we'll have and of some of those opt-outs. Of course, mentioned some of those players that won't be playing in this game. Unfortunately, we've also learned that C.J. Donaldson will be sitting this one out due to an injury. He won't be playing in this bowl game. We know Zach Frazier will be missing this bowl game. And Preston Fox, questionable as well for West Virginia on the injury side. So with that being said, just a rundown of the depth chart here. I'll call it out for you guys on the audio side. Quarterback stays the same, Garrett Green and Nico. Running back, I think we'll see Jaheim White as the starter. And spelling him will either be Jalen Anderson, who we haven't seen a ton of here in the latter portion of the season. But I think we're going to see a good bit of DJ Oliver, Stephen, the true freshman. You know, played some on special teams this year. Had only already played in his four-game limit. But with the NCAA passing the rule that you can play in the bowl game and it not counting, he can still play in this game and still be a redshirt freshman next season. So West Virginia is going to use him, Neil Brown said, not only at the running back position, but he may be back a kick returner for the Mountaineers in this game also. But any thoughts there on DJ Oliver before I move through this depth chart, Stephen? Because he's a guy that I'm really excited about. You know, we've had some good true freshmen past couple years, CJ, and of course, Jaheim's exploded. But I think DJ Oliver is a big back with a lot of speed that could be impressive in this game.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what he can potentially do. I think like you hit the nail on the head. I think that for the most part, I've been impressed with every single running back that West Virginia's recruited in the past year or two anyway. I don't think there's any reason to not be excited other than the things that you just mentioned with his size and his speed. Because I think, you know, that in and of itself has potential to be a really dangerous back because, you know, he's not quite as big, like I said. You know, I know obviously, but you know the having those two things together, you know, it's like Derrick Henry is that's what the first thing I think of.
And maybe quietly, you know, the CRW pick for X Factor in this game. Watch out for DJ Oliver in this one for sure. Moving on throughout the depth chart for the Mountaineers, not too much change here at the wide receiver position, save for Preston Fox maybe being out in this one because of the injury. That's why I put the asterisk there next to his name. But at the X, you'll see Hudson Clement and EJ Horton. Inside, you'll see Devin Carter or Preston Fox. And then, of course, Rodney Gallagher continuing to get the reps there that he's been getting in the slot throughout this season as a freshman, as has Traylon Ray, a fellow true freshman on the outside who's done a great job this season, really continuing to come into his own. Him and Jarrell Williams will be the ones on the outside at the Z position. Tight ends remain Cole Taylor and Traylon Davis. The offensive line, here's where we get into the changes now with Zach Frazier out for this game. You'll see Brandon Yates take over as the starting center for this team. Wyatt Milam still starts at left tackle with a backup of being Nick Malone. Left guard will be Thomas Remek, backup Sully Weedman. Then the right guard, you'll see Jaquay Hubbard take over the starting spot, Nick Malone backing him up. And then on the right tackle position, Doug Nestor backed up by Johnny Williams, most likely. Flipping it over to the defensive side, defensive ends will remain Sean Martin and Tommy Durajaye. Defensive tackle, Eddie V will get the start. Then you'll get a mix of Jalen Thornton, Asani Redwood, and Day Day Hawkins at the second team spot. Nose tackle, here's where we get into another big change for the bowl game with Mike Lockhart leaving in the transfer portal. You'll see either Fatorma Mulba or Hammond Russell slide in the starting spot, get a lot of reps there. But Neil Brown's also talked about utilizing some of those true freshmen in this game, and one of those will be Corey McIntyre Jr. could get reps there also. Bandit, Mike linebacker position remains the same. You'll see Jared Bartlett and Tyron Bradley at the Bandits. Mike linebackers, you'll see Ben Cutter and Lee Koba. If anyone spells them, it'll be Caden Beiser or Austin Cave. The spear position, this is where it'll be interesting in this game, Stephen. No Hershey McLaurin, no Lance Dixon, who's already not been with the team, but with Hershey McLaurin hitting the transfer portal, now you're almost solely relying on Marcus Floyd, who's been kind of mixing in there with Hershey. But this is a position, I think, to watch in this one. West Virginia has been lacking depth in the secondary already. You lose Wilson Lamp, And of course, you lose Hershey McLaurin here at the Spear. Are you a little bit worried about West Virginia's secondary depth in this game when you look at something like the Spear position, Stephen?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the first thing that I think of. It's the biggest question mark going into this game, in my opinion. And then I think I'm not going to speak on what could potentially happen, but I think me and you, what we spoke to off the air, you know, if that happens, that could be really, really dangerous for West Virginia. But I think that will, you know, I think we'll be safe for the bowl game. But I just don't think that we're going to have the depth to be able to handle the receivers all day long. Because that's why I say that up front, we're going to have to really shut them down in the run game if we're going to have a good solid chance. But I do think the West Virginia offensively can run with them. You know, if we can stay healthy for the most part all day, that is.
Yeah, that's what you get to worry about when you have the lack of depth that West Virginia is going to have in the back end of this game is, you know, maybe getting worn down towards the end and stuff. Like I said, it could turn into a shootout. We know we have faith in West Virginia's offense. We just have to see how West Virginia's secondary holds up in this game. But speaking of that secondary, in this day and age with opt-outs for bowl games, you got to love a guy like Beanie Bishop, just named a consensus All-American. Could, you know, choose to sit this one out, try and get ready for an NFL career. 13th consensus All-American WVU football history says, no, I'm going to have it one more go round with the old gold and blue here, and really have loved his addition this season. And he'll continue to start there at the cornerback position. His backup will be Jacoby Spells. Of course, on the other side, you'll get Malachi Ruffin playing his final game as a Mountaineer as well in this Duke's Mayo Bowl. And then one of those freshmen that Neil Brown talked about will likely get involved in this game. We'll see Josiah Jackson, the true freshman, potentially get some reps at the cornerback position and probably play on special teams. Then at the safety, this is where it gets a little bit hairy as well, where you have Marcus Floyd going to have to play essentially the spear position now also. Pretty much Aubrey Burks and Anthony Wilson are going to have to play the whole game. Neil Brown talked about when they can spell them, they can move Malachi Ruffin back to safety if they need to spell one of those two, and you can slide Jacoby Spells in on the opposite side of Beanie Bishop if necessary. We'll see how often West Virginia chooses to do that in this game. Kicker and punter remain the same, Michael Hayes and Oliver Straw. Return man will be a little bit different in this game. Neil Brown said it looks like they're probably going to plan to use DJ Oliver and maybe Rodney Gallagher on kick returns, and punt return sounds like it'll likely be handled by Beanie Bishop if Preston Fox can't go for the Mountaineers. So wanted to update West Virginia's depth chart there. And then as far as North Carolina is concerned, we know they're going to have several players out in this game as well. Quarterback Drake May being one of them. So we'll see true freshman Connor Harrell get the start there for them. He's an explosive, athletic quarterback, a strong arm, definitely can still be dangerous for this North Carolina offense that will have some explosiveness to it, despite the fact they'll be missing Tez Walker and some other players there at the wide receiver and tight end positions. They still have some playmakers there, Nate McCollum, Gavin Blackwell, J.J. Jones, to name a few. And the scariest playmaker on this North Carolina offense, I think, is running back Amarion Hampton, one of the top running backs in the country this year, top in the ACC, and certainly an explosive North Carolina offense, and he was a big part of the reason why there, Steven. So getting into a little bit of the matchups now, I know we talked about it briefly, but when you break it down, you know, you mentioned West Virginia needing to stop this North Carolina run game. I think that's going to be a major key here, and especially, though, when you look at that, if they try and lull you to sleep, then the back end's going to have to hold up, potentially get some play action and some deep shots from Harrell. And then as a Mountaineer fan, I think we get a little bit worried when you know it's a dual threat quarterback also. We've had some trouble with those over our history, despite the fact that we've done pretty good against them this season. Further thoughts on this West Virginia defense versus this North Carolina offense. Do you think the Mountaineers have an advantage with some of the players North Carolina has out, or do you think with Hampton's explosiveness and some of the weapons, it's still a bit of a wash here as far as the matchup is concerned?
To be quite honest with you, I hate to give you this answer, but I think that there's too many unknowns to be confident or none, you know, not confident in it. Because for one, Marcus Floyd's, looking at the depth chart, Marcus Floyd is going to be, dog tired by the end of the day, because this man is going to be all over that field, at one point or another. So, I think with the way that we're stretched thin, what I can only expect is the multitude of inexperience on the offensive side for UNC. It's going to be a really interesting thing to watch in the game, for both sides. I really don't know if I can give you a confident answer either way on that one, just because there's so many unknowns.
No, I'm right there with you. I kind of echo that, because this is the big question mark for me in the game, just because you don't really know what to expect, and that can go one of two ways. You know, it can be an advantage for you in a major way when you're talking about, you know, Connor Hale and some of these other skill position guys he's going to be throwing to. You haven't seen a ton of them. I think they're kind of a true freshman there at tight end, as they're missing several of those guys. A lot of these wide receivers haven't played a ton this season. I know they did have multiple receivers over 60 receptions on the year. But, you know, when it's an unknown, you never know. It also, you don't have film on the guy, so you never know how they're going to come out and attack you. It could be one of those games where you have an adjustment period. Maybe North Carolina's offense starts off hot. West Virginia has to figure out a way to slow that down, and then after some adjustment, the defense will play better. But certainly there's a lot of unknowns. West Virginia missing some starters on defense. North Carolina missing some starters on offense. So we'll see how that one shakes out. I think I'm going to have to call it a wash myself there on that side, Stephen, as well, just because, like you said, too many unknowns. I think that's a great way to put it there. But flip it over a little bit, and this is the side that I'm really excited about, I think, for the Mountaineers, just because of how, I guess, explosive our offense was in the latter portion of this season, with some of the young pieces really starting to come into their own, mainly Jaheim White, who you guys follow us here on the CRW and know I'm a huge fan of. But when you look at this matchup against UNC, they're going to be missing their top player on that defensive side, Cedric Gray, who's going to be getting prepared for the NFL draft. He led them in tackles, TFLs, sacks, was really kind of a do-it-all guy for them. They're also missing a couple players in the secondary there. Elijah Hustle, one of their top cover guys, I think is going to be out. So we'll see how they manage their back end there with some absences there. And, of course, Cedric Gray, I think, is a big absence for them on the defensive side, much like May on the offense. But, of course, looking at this West Virginia offense matching up against this Carolina defense, you know, I'll lead it off and kind of give my opinion here. And I think this is certainly advantage West Virginia. Even if Cedric Gray was playing, I might feel that way because of, you know, I talked about West Virginia's explosiveness, but this was North Carolina's Achilles heel this year, was their defense. You know, they were kind of the bottom of the ACC, I think, in run defense, near the bottom in pass defense as well. When you look at West Virginia, obviously number one in Power Five in rushing offense this year nationally, that bodes well for them. And West Virginia also, you know, number two in the nation in sacks, lowest number of sacks allowed. I think that's big because the one strength of this UNC defense is they've got a couple really good pass rushers. So West Virginia is going to need good play from Wyatt Milam and Doug Nestor. I think they'll get that. So I'm going to go advantage Mountaineers when we're looking at this matchup against the UNC defense. But what are you feeling about this matchup against the Tar Heel defense versus what has become to be a bit of an explosive Mountaineer offense here in the latter portion of the season, Stephen? Do you feel like that will continue here in the Duke's Mayo Bowl?
You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, West Virginia's kind of missing what I consider their best piece on offense as well, and Zach Frazier. That's
true. Good point.
That really breaks my heart for that man. I think I mentioned that before, but him and the, you know, the potential of Preston not being able to play, those hurt. But I'm like you. I think West Virginia's got enough experience along the offensive line that they can move pieces around. They've proved that they can do that at other times. Not really with Zach Frazier before, but I'm hoping that there shouldn't be too much of a hiccup there, because you got so much experience with those guys being able to shift around and play different positions. And then with the wide receivers, while I hope that Preston's able to go, the other guy that I think that deserves some praise for really coming on late, even though that he shined early, was Hudson Clement. I think that, you know, it's really one thing to come out and ball against a team like Duquesne, not discrediting them at all, because to play college football at a D1 level is, you know, it's takes skill, you know, to be able to do well against teams like that. So, but it's one thing to come out and play like he did against Duquesne and have the game that he did and earn a scholarship, but to be able to continue that throughout the season in Big 12 play, you know, and I know what happened against Houston, but, you know, let's not discredit what he did there. That was a big time play there at the end of the game, in that game. And then, you know, he did that in several games, you know, in the latter part of the season as well. So I think, you know, with him and a couple of these other guys, I think West Virginia should be able to sling it around too. I have full confidence in GG being able to run the ball. I think he'll be able to do that pretty well all day. But I think that opens it up, and then, you know, hopefully we'll be able to throw it a little bit better than what we've been able to do. Not that I don't think that we'll shy away from the run game, because you stick to what you're good at. But it just seemed like to me, like the more that West Virginia's offense got to play together, once Garrett Green came back. That's what it felt like during the season, was like you had the Penn State game, which was kind of like a preseason game because no one really expected West Virginia to walk in up there and beat them up there. And then you obviously have the Duquesne game, and then you had Nico's two games of a season, and then West Virginia's season started, and they've only progressed on offense since Garrett's came back. So I expect that to continue.
I think so too, man. I think when you look at this offense, you know, it's a lot of pieces that are, you know, really, I don't even want to say coming into their own, because I mean, they are, they've improved, like you said, throughout the season, but I think it's also only the tip of the iceberg with a lot of these guys. You know, you talk about Gigi, you talk about Jaheim, Traylon Ray, Rodney Gallagher, Hudson, as you talked about there, you name it. I think that what this game for me is going to be is just hopefully something that really just kind of salivates the taste buds and gets you ready for next season when you're really going to have, you know, a full course meal with this team that's going to really be a threat to win the Big 12, I think, next season potentially. And this could be a preview of that, right? You mentioned not having Zach Frazier. That's, you know, troublesome, could be potentially, because he's such a big piece, like you said. But the small sample size we've seen without him, Brandon Yates did a great job leading that game-winning drive versus Baylor, and I think Brandon Yates most likely is going to be your starting center next season. So you're getting a good look at your potential offensive line next year, save, of course, Doug Nestor won't be there. But for the most part, getting a good look at a lot of pieces that will be part of this team next season, especially when you're talking about this West Virginia offense. And I'm super excited about that and some of these guys. And I mentioned, you know, DJ Oliver when you add him into that mix. So I think it's a good preview of the future for West Virginia, but more specifically with this matchup with North Carolina. I think when I was digging in on some of the stats of some of their games throughout the season, one thing that I did notice was they did struggle with scrambling quarterbacks. They seemed to hurt them a little bit. So I think that this could be a good game where we see Gigi's legs put to good use. Also, it's the final game of the year. They don't really necessarily have to worry about, you know, keeping him healthy like they do throughout the course of a season. Not to say that they're going to run him 30 times, try and get him injured or anything, but they're going to have plenty of time for him to recover after this game, you know, a whole offseason. So no need to, you know, hold back on any of the quarterback run game stuff. I think we'll see plenty of that. Could be an explosive game for Garrett. So I like West Virginia's chances to, you know, put up some points in this game. And I think if West Virginia is able to score, you know, 30, 35 plus, they've got a really good chance to win this game. And with the way the offense has played the latter portion this season and what UNC's defense has shown at times, I think they got a good chance to do that in this game. So I'm pretty excited about West Virginia's offense, and I think they're going to show some fun stuff in this bowl game, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so too. And I've been kind of, you know, I've obviously been impressed with what West Virginia's offense has been able to do in the latter part of the season. But, you know, they come out against Penn State, you know, I mentioned that game, and they did the old Kansas City play.
Yeah.
And then that was like the most flair you've seen out of the offense for the most part all season. So I kind of want to see some interesting stuff like that out of the playbook.
Yeah, you pull out all the stops, like the water boy. What's the quote? Last game of the year. Can't hold anything back now.
Can't hold anything back now.
May as well go all for it. But speaking of going for it, Steven, I guess it's about time for us to get ready and go for our key to victory and our score prediction here. Before we do that, let's pull this up here on ESPN, the matchup preview here for UNC and West Virginia, just to give you guys the info of the game in case you have forgotten here in the lead up. I know it's been about a month since the bowl game was announced, but it's December 27th coming up this Wednesday, coming up after Christmas. We're recording this before Christmas. Going to try and get it out to you guys ahead of Christmas. So maybe after opening your presents, you're waiting on Christmas dinner to be ready. You can throw in an earbud, listen to this episode, get you prepared for the bowl game coming up in a few short days there. 5:30 kick, going to be on ESPN and on ESPN Plus, whichever way you want to choose to watch it there. Hopefully, maybe you're in Charlotte there intending it if you're lucky. West Virginia currently favored by 6.5 at the time we're recording this game. ESPN's FBI predictor actually favoring UNC, though, 61% to 39% for the Mountaineers. Most recent contest, though, like I said, West Virginia coming into this one in a much better place, winning 4 out of their last 5, where UNC's coming into this one only winning 2 out of their last 5, including a 2-game losing streak heading into this one, losing to Clemson and NC State on their final 2 games, whereas the Mountaineers are heading into it on a 2-game win streak with wins over Cincinnati and Baylor. So that's kind of where both teams stand and how we feel about these matchups and a little bit of ESPN's preview there. But now that we've done that, Steven, I guess it's time. Let's get into our key to victory for this one and our score prediction here on episode 185 of the CRW podcast. All right, key to victory and score prediction here for our Duke's Mayo Bowl episode. Steven, I'll let you hit it first. What's your key to victory in this one for West Virginia, providing us with a bowl win, getting a ninth win in the season, and potentially ending in the top 25 here to finish out 2023 successfully?
So my key to victory is the I think that if West Virginia controls the big play, I think, you know, West Virginia being West Virginia, we're obviously going to try to control the possession, time of possession, try to hold the ball as long as we possibly can, and dictate the tempo of the game. But I think that UNC has got that big play ability. You know, you mentioned how explosive their offense, even with the question marks, you know, that the running back and the athleticism of their quarterback, I think is going to is cause some potential issues for West Virginia. You know, we mentioned, you know, what we got going on in the secondary. So I think if we can limit the big plays from UNC, West Virginia should be able to be victorious in this game.
Yeah, I like that because I think that that's big in this game. When you look at the way UNC set up in this one, without Drake May, they've talked about the quarterback, Harold. We know about his athleticism, how explosive he can be with his legs. But I think our staff is talking about, you know, his main strength is, you know, throwing deep streaks and throwing, you know, deep post balls. So I think for West Virginia, if they can, you know, kind of not let get beat over the top, like you said, limit that big play, force him to throw into tight windows, he's probably going to be a bit more uncomfortable doing that. So I think, you know, flooded with zone, don't get beat with the big play, stop the run, and you're in good spot. So I like that. Limiting the big play, I think, is going to be a definite key. And it kind of goes hand in hand with mine. And I kind of probably touched on it, maybe gave it away a little bit earlier when I was teasing it. But I think it's just the run game in this one. I think for West Virginia, both stopping the run and, of course, having success on the offensive side, I'm fairly confident, you know, almost extremely confident that we will have success running the football on the offensive side. It's stopping Amari Hampton on the UNC's offense that I'm, you know, most worried about in this game, and I think is the major key. So I think, you know, stopping the run game and having success in the run will be my key to victory. And I guess we'll jump to prediction though, Steven, and I'll go ahead and give mine first since you threw us your key to victory first. For me in this one, you know, I mentioned it potentially getting to a shootout. UNC does have an explosive offense despite some of the pieces that they're missing. But I think West Virginia has an advantage on the opposite side. I think West Virginia will certainly be able to score a lot. I mentioned earlier that I thought if they scored over 30, 35, they'd probably win this football game or at least have a great chance to do that. And I think they're going to definitely get over that threshold. I've got West Virginia scoring 38, and I've got them holding UNC under 30, just barely. I've got West Virginia winning this game by 10 points, covering the spread as it stands currently. I got West Virginia coming out ahead in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, 38-28, getting a 10-point victory over UNC, and we're going to see Coach Neil Brown instead of Coach Mac Brown take a Mayo bath at the end of this one. That's what I think, Steven. But how are you feeling? What's your prediction here for West Virginia's bowl game here to end the 2023 season?
You know as well as probably most of the viewers has been a fan of this show for a long time how big I am on the similarities between current teams and the teams of West Virginia past, right? Well, West Virginia played UNC 10 years to the day in the same bowl game in the same stadium. I was in attendance for that game. I'm going to be in attendance for this game as well. While the game of college football has changed drastically in that amount of time, and, you know, you didn't really deal with the transfer portal, guys opting out, things like that so much back in the day, I still think that the way that this game lines up, it has a lot of similarities. I think the biggest thing that to me that stood out was I've compared, while I want to echo what I've said in the past also, that he is not him, he is him. First, he is him. Gary Green is him. But while he is not the gentleman that I'm about to mention, he reminds me in a lot of ways of the guy that wore number 5. Okay. And I think you would agree with that. I think we've talked about this a bunch, Cruz. But
I would.
I think that when I heard about this bowl game, I was like, man, how poetic is this? How poetic is this that we have so many similarities between the two games in the first place, but you know, the biggest similarity in that, you know, being, you know, Garrett Green, I feel like is the player that is going to help spark this next wave of West Virginia football. Cause I really do think with how we've played and how we can do in recruiting with the way the Big 12 is moving and, you know, and going, I can't speak right now cause I'm just excited. But I think West Virginia is putting themselves in a good spot to be successful, you know, and as hard as that's been able to see before this season started, I think Neil Brown has silenced a lot of these guys that have really been on his and this team's back for a little while. But I say that because I really want to hype Garrett Green up, okay? There's a lot of similarities between these two games, so I'm gonna say that this game is going to have the same score as the last game, 31-30.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
I digressed a lot there, but
I man, know, oh, man. It's beautiful. I mean, same stadium, same calendar day, 15 years later. I think that it's time, man. It's a good prediction. 31-30, West Virginia came out on top last time. If history repeats itself, we're going to come out on top again. I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm a big fan of history repeating itself.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, the running back that Jaheim White reminds me a lot of was the one that stood beside Pat White and wore number 10. And the fact that we have Garrett Green and Jaheim White at the same time, I don't know. You know, sometimes history does repeat itself. We'll see what happens in the future of West Virginia football. But I think with those two guys, I'm really excited, not only about this bowl game, but about beyond that. But I think we'll start to see, you know, some really good preview of what can come here down the line, Mountaineer football, with the offense that we're going to see in this game against UNC, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. You know, I know there's question marks, and you know, I don't think there's a game that we went into this season that we didn't have question marks, though. So,
right,
it's the nature of the beast, man. And
yep,
bowl season.
Yeah, you never know what can happen in bowl season.
Yep. No, just if you've been watching any of these bowl games lately, that sentiment definitely holds true.
Yeah, they've been crazy. They've been crazy. So hopefully if there's anything crazy happening, it's happening in West Virginia's favor and not in North Carolina's. But I think it's going to be a fun one, should be entertaining. And hopefully everybody tunes in there on December 27th to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And hopefully we can see West Virginia get a ninth win to end the season. And I think if they're able to get that ninth win, we could see something really important, I guess, from a lot of fans' perspectives, and that's West Virginia maybe finally getting to the top 25 under Neil Brown. I know that's something that a lot of fans have been harping on, is something that he hasn't done yet. So you could not only get a lot of the fans off your back with the successful season he's already had that's kind of quieted a lot of the naysayers, but the other thing you've been hearing is, oh, we haven't been ranked. Well, you win this game, you get your ninth win, you could end ranked, and then that could lead to, you know, being ranked preseason next year. So a lot of things kind of at play for West Virginia at this one. I think momentum-wise, it would really go a lot of ways for the fan base for us to be able to find a way to win this game. We're pretty confident that we'll be able to do so, but we'd love to hear your all's opinions. Drop them in the comments. Let us know. We appreciate those interactions as we continue to try and grow Country Roads webcast community throughout Mountaineer Nation. But having said that, I guess that'll pretty much get ready to wrap us up here on episode 185. Steven, any final thoughts here you want to add before we close out here our final game preview of the 2023 season? Be back for a review, but final game preview of the year, man. Anything you want to add here before we close up shop?
No, man, just excited. Like you said, you know, first bowl game that we've had in, how many years?
Three.
Been a while.
Feels a while. Feels like longer than that.
Yeah, it feels like a lot longer than that. But, yeah, man, I'm just excited to see, play him one last round. And one thing I do want to say is, you know, it's one thing that we hear every year, especially of lately, is about the transfer portal. And you only ever hear about guys leaving the program. And you know, obviously the ones coming into, but you don't really hear about, like, for me, I guess anyway, is I get kind of stressed out waiting to see what a guy's going to do. I think it's really kind of cool initiative by the Country Roads Trust to have guys, come out and commit to that, to stay into next season, to kind of give us fans some kind of, confidence in knowing who we're going to have next year. So you don't kind of have a Akeem Mezidor situation or something like that. You
know, right.
So yeah, I just wanted to give that a shout out. That's really impressive. And if you haven't joined Country Roads Trust, please go do so, because I truly believe that the more people, no matter what you give, you can give, I think, $5.99, $6.99 is the lowest one that you can do. So I think that most people can afford that. And if we get more people on board with that, then that's only going to bolster the prestige of the program, and it's only going to get more top recruits that they're going to want to come to West Virginia and play for us. So if I can really echo any sentiment, it's that. So I really want to encourage anybody watching this to go do so if you haven't already done that.
Yeah, definitely. Head over to countryroadstrust.com. Check it out. I mean, even if you can't subscribe and become a member, if you can make a one-time donation, I mean, even as little as you can make, you know, every little bit helps, and it all helps West Virginia, not only in football, but in all other sport. You know, you can designate what sport you want your money to help. Even if you want it to go to only football, you can do that. Just so many ways to help contribute to West Virginia here. And in today's day and age, that's how it all goes. And West Virginia is doing a great job this offseason retaining players, Stephen mentioned there, thanks to the Country Roads Trust. We've also brought in some good transfers. They play a part in that as well, and we help keep that going here. You know, all the fans do that donate, so if you haven't already, be sure to certainly do that. It certainly is a very big thing. Glad you brought that up here, Stephen, and continues to be a good thing for West Virginia there, the Country Roads Trust, bringing back some of these players that we'll see not only in this bowl game but next season, the Garrett Greens, the Jaheim Whites, all the freshman skill players that we're really excited about to watch in this bowl game. So shout out to Country Roads Trust and the great job they're doing, along with the great job that this West Virginia coaching staff did to get us to 8 wins, and hopefully we're going to get to see them have us reach 9 wins, you know, a plateau that we haven't obviously seen in the Neil Brown era, this being the most successful year that we've had up to this point. But we're super excited to see it end on a high note, potentially here in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. We're excited to watch it, and want to say also, as we end this episode, just want to close by saying Merry Christmas, Mountaineer Nation. Happy holidays, whatever it is you celebrate. Hope it's a great holiday time with you and your friends and family as you celebrate it throughout these next few days. Of course, watching the Duke's Mayo Bowl after Christmas, but you know, during the holidays, hope it's great and safe holiday for everyone. And appreciate y'all tuning into this episode, whether you watch the video version on WVSportsNow.com or tune in the audio version you can find on any podcast platform you like. Be back for episode 186. We'll be recapping this bowl game and recapping the West Virginia season a little bit as well. So for my co-host, Steven, as always, I'm Jordan Cruz. And until next time, let's go Mountaineers. If you really want to know, then come on, let's go. Take a stroll down those...